The previous program was Neurodiversity Experts Talk with Natalie Tandyway, and that is heard Fridays at 2 p.m. Stay tuned for Ecologic coming up. It is now 2:30 p.m. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry. For Mother Earth, makes me wanna cry. We could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for May 28th, 2021.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today's episode is about making your world greener. Welcome, collective member Joel Landy.
Hi, Donna. Hi, Ken. I've really been looking forward to today's show. I get to talk to an old friend. And originally, I was going to name this segment Being an Environmentalist in Everyday Life. But after speaking with Bob Nagy, he told me, no, let's make it Designing Your Life and Making It a Greener World. Now, how does a person actually do that? Well, let me tell you about my friend Bob. I met Bob Nagy back in 1970s when we both attended college at the New York Institute of Technology in Old Westbury. And I always noticed how smart he was. And he knew media technology. He had the mind of an engineer. He could research and diagnose, design around ideas and electronic hardware. He could take things apart and put them back together with upgraded modifications, learning how they work in a way that would let him share his knowledge with everyone else, and he was very good at it. Many years later, I connected with Bob and found that he had lived this engineering process in designing a life for himself. Change starts where you live. Now, ask yourself, why do you live where you do? Does it support the way you want to live and what you believe in? Could you research this topic and choose to end up where you would rather be? Well, Bob did. Like any engineer, he believes in designed outcomes. Bob, welcome to Ecologic.
Greetings, Earthlings. Good to be here.
Now, you and I both grew up on Long Island in Long Island. How is it that you ended up in Hot Springs, Arkansas?
Well, you know, you and I and the group of our friends landed up in the Catskills quite a bit. We were running around in the woods a lot and enjoying nature and having a ball, you know, outside of suburbia. And early on, about before that, I started to design what I thought was the ideal life, pretty much in high school, and, you know, knew sort of the direction I wanted to go. But one day my dad said to me, I was setting up solar tea cookers in the driveway, you know, 8 feet between each house and on the island. And he said, you know, you really need to go someplace where people are like you. And that's not around here. And that was the only decent piece of advice he really ever gave me. He was a tenor at the Met, and I was watching his musical lifestyle and realizing that was not what I was going to do for a living, because you shouldn't even have a family if you're never home. So I just looked at Money Magazine one day, the 10 best cities in the U.S., upcoming cities. It was Tucson, Seattle, Boston, all the progressive cities that subsequently exploded. And I thought, I'm going to pack my girlfriend in my VW with me, take my resume, my growing sprouts in a Skippy peanut butter jar, and visit all these places and find out if one of them suited me. And so in the end, it was Austin, Texas, because it was November when we got there and it was still summer. Wow. And, you know, I'd never have to listen to the sound of an aluminum snow shovel scraping the sidewalk ever again. And it was chock full of brilliant people technically and musically. And that was what I wanted to do. That was me. And the university was there and it had like a 4-to-1 woman to guy ratio. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. So that's how I landed up in Austin. I was literally played music on the drag there in front of the university, bought a $5 sleeping bag and a piece of foam, and we got a $37 rent and a farmhouse, grew food and other things, and started a lifestyle there, which got very green very quick because Austin is so progressive. So that's that. You know, that's how I landed up there. And after 25 years of working I worked in a few startups in the early development of digital mobile telephone. Cell beat our company, and they became the dominant digital mobile telephone. Then I went to the university for getting a pension and healthcare, and landed up in biological sciences rather than working for Austin City Limits, which is where I applied, and led up at NASA in Houston doing payloads with biotech stuff and shooting bacteria up in space and building public stations there, and then executed a retirement plan and came up to Hot Springs after that because we love thermal baths. I wanted to be in a small community where you see everybody and you're in a fabric of community and you have what people are generally missing in the United States. And that's why we're here, in a place where we can control the cultural environment, us expats, and make a wonderful place and a clean environment, low cost environment, and off the radar place, you know? So that's the trajectory.
From what I understand, you're living off the grid. How did you do that?
Oh, well, I have been at points. In Austin, I designed, and my wife and I hand-built a solar house and did that whole off-the-grid thing in Austin about 15 miles out of town until they built a super looper around the city, and Austin's still exploding. And we realized we needed to get out of there, which is why we came up here. We lived out in the country for a while, and then my wife was like, we really need to move to town. I'm sick of, you know, the country is defined in any place you have to drive more than a half hour to get a pint of Häagen-Dazs. So she was sick of that, and we moved into town, and I've retrofit this house. The entire backyard's torn up into a garden. There's solar panels all over the top. But we are connected to the grid at this point, but we do have two electric cars out there. And, you know, we're very green.
How is your what's your bill for your solar house? Are you very, very low cost? I'm sure.
I mean, utility bills.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. $20. You know, the thing is, you have to pay a connection fee anyway every month, which is like 17. So you're going to be paying that. And they're fighting us tooth and nail. I'm down testifying at the Public Service Commission all the time against these tariffs. You got to realize Arkansas is a retrograde state. So, you know, but there are nice things about that, like having a milkman, you know. But other than that, you know, it deserves its reputation. The thing is that in this town, we're all expats. So, you know, we run the show.
Now, one of the things that intrigues me about your story, Bob, is that you designed a life for yourself and
yes.
did some research. Now, there are people who we donate to the proper places, and we get angry when we're supposed to, and we make our contribution the way we can make it. But this thing about designing a life and choosing a place to live and getting off the grid.
All right. That's I'm going to tell you how to do
people.
That.
I don't know how to do that.
No, I'm going to tell you exactly how to do that, okay? And I do a lot of mentoring. I don't have kids. I mentor a lot of teens, and that's one of the things you should do, you know, borrow kids, you know, adopt kids, whatever. But the first thing to do, so I'll sort of start in a more basic thing. First thing to do is find your passion. That's the first question I ask anyone that I meet. What's your passion? What do you get up in the morning you can't wait to do? Find that passion. Learn everything about it. I'm not talking about a college degree. I'm talking about getting blank notebooks, getting the books, getting online, learning everything you can possibly learn about it, and become an expert in that field. I've never had a formal electronics class. I design payloads at NASA because I can do it. And they don't care today about the sheepskin. They care, what do you really actually do? What have you done? Are you creative? Can you come up with novel approaches to these things? Creativity is valued much higher than the sheepskin. So first, find your passion. Learn everything you can about it. I have notebooks filled with this stuff. I was, you know, teaching electronics right after high school. I just did it myself. Learn an instrument. This is very important because cross-pollination of the hemispheres of your brain, you're going to need an instrument for emotional self-counseling along the way, okay? And that's when the best songs are written. You know, the horrible thing happens and you hit that E minor and, you know, Joe, you know about what I'm talking about. And then focus on getting a roof over your head. Design the smallest, most efficient house you possibly can. I saw people building houses. I said, I can do that. Come on, give me a break. So you just get all the books, design a shelter, paths, traffic patterns, solar insulation, all this kind of stuff. It's very straightforward. And then start to accumulate the parts to do it. Recycle parts, start gathering parts up together and execute, get a piece of land and you're going to build a house there. But of course you need to find that location. So like the Italian saying says, if you're not flowering, put yourself in another flower pot. Okay. So find the place that respects your values, that there are a whole bunch of people there that have your values and respect the phase of life that you're in. You're a green person. That's a musician and engineer. You in your 20, you're going to Austin, Texas. That's it. That's heaven. You know, if you're over 40, you're an old fart there. You can't live there. You have to go to a place where people are like you. And you know that I don't know those people in the community, but there's a lot of people like here that share my values and I feel comfortable here and I can flower here. So find that location and go there. We're Americans. Everybody speaks English. They move around, go someplace else. Great to grow up in New York. Loved it. Multi, you know, diverse, all that great stuff. Surround yourself with brilliant people when you get there. It's like playing in the band with better people. You want to be lifted up and look for mentors in those areas of your passion and go towards them. I had like five. None of them were my dad. You know, some of them were New Yorkers that lived other places and took me under their wing. And I just lifted me up and, you know, and changed the course of my life in a pivotal way. So you want to gravitate towards those people and make a financial plan for yourself as early on as you can. And execute that plan, save and diversify your savings. We thought the world would collapse forever. Okay. It just doesn't. There's a lot of momentum. Chances are even in a degraded form, this society will exist in some form and you'll need money and you'll make a plan and execute it. So that's always a good idea. And saving a variety of things. Like I said, find a partner who has common values, common goals and a common educational level and common political beliefs and is not crazy. Those would be my criteria. And work together with them to get to that goal. And then plan to pull yourself out of the financial and other system as soon as you can. That means growing vegetables. 1,000 square feet of vegetable plot is one person's vegetables, 2 servings a day for the entire year. Okay, so that's 250 feet long of 4-foot beds per person per year. Okay. And that will take care of everything for you. The freezer will be chock full and you'll be eating green beans and squash the rest of the year. And that's what we do. So that will, you know, be a green footprint right there. Okay. Then you're designing this all on with minimal energy use, which is a sort of separate list, which I can give you. Grow those veggies. Don't smoke and don't drink. Use that organic coffee substitute called sleep. Okay. 30 minutes extra of that. You don't have any energy bump during the day. 3 o'clock. No, you're same energy all day long. Your brain detoxifies itself. You get up, you actually feel okay. So coffee is not sleep. That's just me. So that would be how to do it mechanically, you know, and a little bit spiritually, designing your entire life, you know, so they probably would be successful in our current milieu. You know, things may change, adapt, be flexible, keep your flexibility in body, mind, and spirit, and keep your attitude in a way that, you know, spreads the joy of your life to everyone you touch.
Wow, you just gave us a mini course that could take a semester. But I'm glad you told it. You gave, there were a couple of quotes that came up in our previous conversation. You said, mm-hmm. and I asked you, so how do people make these changes in life? And you mentioned not pushing the meter in the wrong direction on the planet. And you said it's like dieting and making minor changes that become permanent.
Yeah, radical dieting never works. You have to make minor changes and bend the thing sort of in the direction of goodness. And, you know, that's each little thing that you can do along the way. Like, I take very short showers. I have always been a water saver. I just do that. And over the course of a lifetime, that's a huge difference. Okay? 5 minutes versus 45 minutes, there's a lot of energy in that thing. So, you know, it's just those small things that you can do. And a lot of it was born of that first oil crisis where we really realized, oh, energy is not unlimited and free and everything. And out of that came, you know, this burst of solar energy interest. But that's why I have been responsible for thousands of solar installations globally, teach at National Park College in solar here, sell my course.
Do you have any suggestions, Bob, for people who are living in the urban environment who may not have all of the choices in your repartee there, that how did they make the most of where they are?
Got it. Okay. If you were in an urban environment, there are all kind of opportunities now springing up with these rooftop gardens and things like that. You want to eat locally. We've heard that a million times. So you want to eat things that are not transported over long distances. Become part of a food co-op, of a subscription farm, of a rooftop farm. If you're in an urban area, you can grow hydroponically, actually in your windows, some of your stuff. So try to source or grow your food locally, even in an urban environment, which is becoming more and more possible. But other things, and my short list is silly stuff like use LED bulbs. I know it sounds ridiculous. Use LED bulbs. Design your life so that you're not commuting. Okay, commuting is, you know, there's about a 10 mile average commute in the United States each way to work.
That's kind of easy these days because nobody leaves their house.
and we used to go to work because they had better computers there. Well, that's not the case anymore. So we have discovered that a large percentage of us can work at home and with variable hours and respect our biocycles more and everything else. So don't have kids if you can possibly get away with it. You know, did I say that right? I did say that right. Yeah. You know, it's for family pressure and everything else. And borrow them, you know, and mentor them, because a lot of times their one parent's gone or they're crackheads or whatever. I just pick those kids up and I go, I'm going to be one of those pivotal mentors in your life. Okay. And your life's going to change direction now. And you're going to become tremendously smarter about being a master at what everyone else is a slave to, all of these devices. Okay. You're going to know how all this stuff works, and it's going to give you an ability to have a self-identity, which will lift you above to a point where you do not feel threatened, as your self-identity doesn't feel threatened. And you can go through life knowing that, you know, they can't even tell you what the internet is, and you can. So self-identity is the best thing you can give a young person, and knowledge is power, and keep it diverse, and read Voltaire, and pick an instrument, and, you know, be sure that you're loving learning. Learn to love to learn and never stop learning.
Yeah. You talked about making solar, you know, on Long Island, and you talked about the energy crisis. So you were making solar thermal in the 70s?
Well, I was, you know, living at my parents' house for most of that time. And I started to, started to buy solar panels. And the two panels that I bought that were frameless, and I had to frame them at Michael's, are out on my shed from 1976, lighting the garden up out there. 48 years later, whatever that is.
So is that solar thermal or?
No, active solar, electric solar. And also parabolic, you know, just parabolic dishes for heating stuff. I was experimenting with the different analyses of the time. Yeah.
But the reason I bring that up is because, you know, by the 90s, Long Island with one of the most densest solar areas in the entire country. There's more solar installations on rooftops on Long Island than possibly any other counties in the United States.
I did not know that, and I'm so happy to hear.
In the 70s, LoCo was still controlling Long Island's utilities. And when that went under because of the Shoreham nuclear power plant, Long Island became a very pro-solar place to be, and still is. PSE&G tried to change it. It didn't work.
I protested against that. I still have the T-shirt. Well, that was a success story, and one of the things that was interesting, when I brought my panels down to the south, they put out twice as much power. So there was an amazing difference in just sun level, but because of the price per panel, and especially now, I mean, 85% drop, there's no excuses not to do it almost anywhere. It is the cheapest energy form.
You said that you've coached people on how to install solar arrays. Could you talk about one of those projects?
Certainly. I would give lectures on this so much, I realized I needed to formalize this and do video series on this. So I did about 15 years ago, a 3-DVD series, like 6 hours of training. You know nothing to, you are a solar expert and you can install any installation. And I sold like 2,500 of them on Amazon. I give them away free now on my site on Facebook, Green Power Videos. And I have spurred lots of small businesses and stuff in India and Africa where they constantly want me to come over and teach courses. Small businesses like people have cell phones, but they're hard to charge and power is not well distributed in parts of Africa. I said, okay, solar panel, locking a kiosk where you can lock your phone in, have it charged by the solar panel. It's a personal business, and come back and unlock it and take your phone out. So it's a personal cell phone charging business. Okay. Things like that.
So do you think that the young people under 30 years old, that wave is coming. Are they hip to all of this? Are they going to be the ones that change everything?
The trend is in the right direction by various means. The giant suburban house idea is going away. Being an albatross on you, so you just, design the minimum house that you want to live in, or keep moving around or whatever, be part of a commune or a planned community. So things are moving in the right direction by necessity, but there will be accelerators like COVID was. COVID is just an accelerator to change, because anything people were going to do, they're going to do sooner now. Buy that car, move that, change locations, whatever. The Californians are exiting. They're mainly going to Texas. The Texans are selling high prices and moving here because we, have extremely low costs of living here. So there are these generalized trends, and a lot of them are in the right direction of necessity. But whether this will happen in time, there's the great filter theory that evolving organisms on various planets come to a point where they hit a giant challenge, which the vast majority do not get over on. And whether we have passed that or we are coming to it, we don't know. But I think that, I'm also biotechnology maven, and I have a little lab set up here at CRISPR and genetic engineering research. CRISPR will probably be the greatest challenge to humankind, as far as the ability of humans to completely change the web of life.
Okay, so Bob, could you once again tell us your name and your contact information?
Sure. Bob, Broken Old Bottles, B-O-B-N-A-G-Y. That's Nancy Alpha Golf Yankee, the phonetics. And contact information is askbobquestions, plural, @gmail.com.
We know time flies when you're having fun. Thank you, Ecologic Collective member Joel Landy. Bob Nagy is compelling, but unfortunately, we are out of time.
Tune in next week, Friday, June 4th at 2:30 p.m., when we discuss little-known but crucially important green amendments to state constitutions with Maya Van Rossum.
You can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people who are making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBAI-FM.
And we rely on you to show your support for WBAI. Remember when we asked you to become a member of WBAI because there was an important vote coming up? Well, June 7th is that time. The same people who kicked in the doors of WBAI in October 2019 are at it again and want to change the bylaws to gain control. This time they are better funded and organized. They have even misled some celebrities. You can find more info on WBAIFightBack.org.
We love your support. Oh, and only four NYC mayoral candidates showed up for the debates on nature issues. Garcia, Chang, Foltenauer, and Prince. And you can still listen to the show again or any of our past shows, get environmental news on a variety of topics, such as threats to Governor's Island and the Arctic, on www.ecoradio.org.
Go to www.give2wbai.org and choose Ecologic on the drop-down menu after you click on Next or call and say you want to become a member of or BAI Buddy.
We would love you to become a member in the name of your favorite radio program, Ecologic.
It's a win-win.
And much appreciation for our engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. See you next week when we discuss Green Amendments with Maya Van Rossum, June 4th, 2:30 p.m.
WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. Senate Republicans today blocked the creation of a bipartisan panel to study the January 6th attack on the Capitol, even in the face of emotional appeals from those who fought with and fled from the rioters that day. The vote was 54-35, short of the 60 votes needed to consider a House-passed bill that would have formed a 10-member commission evenly split between the two parties. The vote was another sign of GOP loyalty to twice-impeached former President Donald Trump and an overtly political effort to shift the focus off of the violent insurrection of his supporters. Prosecutors have charged three Tacoma, Washington police officers with murder over the March 2020 killing of Manuel Ellis, a 33-year-old black father of two. Ellis was violently arrested and beaten by the cops on the side of a road and died while he was being restrained and in handcuffs. He can be heard saying, "Can't breathe, sir," on a police scanner. Two white officers are charged with second-degree murder, and an Asian-American officer faces a first-degree manslaughter charge. It's the first time in history the Washington State Attorney General has criminally charged a cop over a deadly use of force incident. It comes more than a year after a county medical examiner ruled Ellis's death a homicide. The gunman who shot and killed nine Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority workers before killing himself was under investigation for reportedly making racist remarks on the job. According to NBC Bay Area, Samuel Cassidy had been accused of making inappropriate racist remarks to co-workers while working as a maintenance worker at the VTA. He was scheduled to attend a disciplinary hearing on the day of the attack. Authorities claim that Cassidy had been described as, quote, a highly disgruntled VTA employee for many years, and noted that he often boasted that he had guns and explosives. The Wall Street Journal reported that Cassidy was stopped by Customs and Border Protection agents and questioned in 2016 after they found books on terrorism and a notebook filled with writings on his hatred for his employer. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights says Israel may have committed war crimes during its 11-day bombardment of the Gaza Strip earlier this month. Michelle Bachelet said she had seen no evidence to back Israeli claims that civilian buildings in Gaza bombed by Israel were being used for military purposes. High Commissioner Bachelet also said Hamas violated international law by firing rockets into Israel. Her comments came as the UN Human Rights Council voted to create a permanent commission of inquiry to to monitor human rights abuses in Israel, Gaza, and the occupied West Bank. Many residents of Washington's Ivy City thought the day would never come, but finally, their cherished landmark, the Alexander Crummell School, will be restored and become a community center. Yesterday, after decades of demands from residents, Mayor Muriel Bowser announced that her administration will invest